And so praise the Lord. We are in Romans chapter 5 this morning, and I'm excited. We just got 5 verses. I know all of you are always nervous. You're like, how many verses is it going to be? Only 5 today. I think we can do it. I'm watching the time this morning. Romans chapter 5. I was telling the 8:30 service that I always have an inside joke. This morning, Pastor mentioned the word Michigan. And every time Pastor mentions the word Michigan, wherever I'm at, I just shout amen. And I grew up in Michigan, so when he says Michigan, I say amen. And thank you. And boy, so this morning he said it. Of course, I said amen, and it was a great time. And I was telling the 8:30 service. There's an old rock and roll song. By the way, if you need to know about rock and roll, Brother Vestal will tell you all about it. And he's studied that music, you know. Amen. And anyway, there's a song that all the Michiganders know, that there's the word Detroit in the song. And whenever you hear the word Detroit, all the Michigan people, we just death scream the word Detroit. Okay? That's what we do. And I think I was at a Portland Winterhawks game with our teenagers, and they just played that song, you know, over the loudspeaker. And it got to that word Detroit, and I just stood up and just absolutely, I was trying to throw the whole arena. That was my goal. I wanted the whole arena to hear Brother TJ scream the word Detroit. It pretty much worked. And all of our teenagers, hundreds of people are like, who is this dude? All these Portland people, like, why is he screaming Detroit? Our teenagers were thoroughly embarrassed, and I felt very accomplished as a youth pastor to embarrass our teenagers. They always embarrass me, so sometimes you got to give it back. And that has nothing to do with the sermon this morning. It's just good stuff, okay? We're in Romans chapter 5 today. I hope that you're having a good morning. We are certainly glad that you're here. And a good reminder, you know, now that we're getting back, invite people that you haven't seen. Text them, call them. Hey, come on back to church. We have church going on, and we're studying God's Word. This morning, Romans chapter 5, in just a second, we're going to read these verses. Today we're going to talk about subject that's really difficult. And I would say for many of us in here, it's one of the hardest things you'll do as a Christian. And the Bible here in verse 3, we'll look at in a second, it talks about glorying in tribulation. Glorying in tribulation. What's weird to read is when you read the Bible, when tough times come in life, the way God wants us to respond to it is totally opposite of what we would think and what we would want to do when tough times come into our life. And so we're going to talk about glorying in tribulation. Would you all stand to your feet? Let's read the Bible together today. Can we do that? And let's stand. We'll stretch a little bit here. If you're able, if you're not, just stay seated. That's totally fine. Romans chapter 5. And if you ever wonder, why do we do that at church every once in a while? Well, it's in the Old Testament, book of Nehemiah, where the Israelites would gather. And they would all stand as someone would read God's Word. And they would stand for hours. We're going to stand for like 1 minute, okay? And so we'll stand and we'll read God's word today, and then we'll let you be seated. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Verse 1 says this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory, and that's what we're going to talk about, glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, bless us today. As we look at Romans chapter 5, Lord, we ask that you would, God, speak to our hearts. Lord, in this message today, you have a message specifically for everyone in the room today. And so, God, I ask that as I speak, you would speak through me, and use your word today to help us, Lord, whatever area of our life that you want to fix and correct. And God, we ask you to be with us this morning. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we see that word tribulation here, and we'll get to it in just a second. But tribulation in the Bible usually refers to going through some type of tough time, a difficulty of life. As we read here in this passage, the context of this is the tribulation that is being talked about is persecution in the church. Of course, Paul is writing this letter to the Romans here and that Roman church, and they're going through persecution. You study the book of Acts, you study the rest of the New Testament, and you'll see Christians who are being imprisoned. You'll see Christians who are going through tough times, and some are being tortured, and all of these type of things. And yet, you read these verses, and we find that we are somehow supposed to glory or rejoice in the tough times. I don't know about you, but when tough times come, that's usually not my go-to. When something comes into my life that I don't necessarily like, or I think, why is this happening? My first response is not, yes, thank you, Lord. My first thought is not, whoo-hoo, this is going to be great, God. It's not the way we think, is it? I was reminded of our soccer team here at our school. I get to coach soccer. How many are soccer fans out there? Raise your hand. How many are soccer haters? Any haters? I see those hands. Praise the Lord. And some people do. Some people don't. I coach soccer. And boy, we will get our schedule for the year. And our guys love getting the schedule. They love getting to see the teams that we're going to play. Last year, our soccer team, we had 23 guys come out for our soccer team in high school, our varsity team. And so my goal was, I'm going to get them all to a few games. I picked the top 15 guys, and those 15 guys, they were called the A team, the A squad. And they got to go to every single game. The rest of the guys, I broke them up into different groups, and I told them, you're not going to go to every game. I can't take a whole army of people to every game. But I'll break it up, and you'll get to go to a third of the games. And you get to come to the practices. They say, third of the games, we're in. Well, that schedule came out. And of course, those guys are so nervous. They're thinking, what teams did I get scheduled on? You know, because if we only get a few games, they want to be scheduled against the worst teams, right? They look at a schedule and they're like, ooh, that team is terrible. Perfect. That's the game I'm going to. Because in their minds, they know that if we play a team who's not very good, the chance of them getting in the game is higher, right? And sometimes we'll have games like that where I'll tell the guys, I'll say, guys, let's be honest here. We've all been watching the scores. I've scouted this team out. This is going to be a goal party. We are going to score so many goals, we're almost going to start feeling sorry for this team. The other team, I say, guys, you got to be nice. Got to be nice, because right now some of these guys on that team are probably contemplating their soccer life choices, wondering if it's for them, because they have been getting beat. And I say, man, we're going to unfortunately score a lot of goals today. And our guys love those games. You know what sometimes the games they don't like, though? When I come to the practice and go, hey, we got a game this week, and it's against the undefeated team in our league. They're like, no, not them. Anybody with them, Brother TJ. I say, guys, we'll start the game plan, right? I'll say, here's this player. Here's what he does. Here's what this player does. Here's their coaching system. Here's the way their defense runs. Here's the way their offense operates. Here's what we're going to do to try to beat them. And our guys, of course, are thinking, there ain't no way. And I'm like, no, there is a way. It's 1% chance, but there's a chance. So we're going to prepare. We're going to get ready. And boy, you play both of those games. One team, you could beat 12 to nothing. And our guys are happy. But there's just something about going and playing a team who maybe you weren't supposed to beat and somehow squeaking out a win. 1-0. And we've scored one goal. I've had games, and some of you soccer haters, you're going to hate what I say right now, okay? I've had games where we tied. And I left dancing, man, because I'm thinking they should have destroyed us. They should have killed us. I will take a tie. I will run to the bus. We will go home and we will scream like a bunch of crazy little kids that we just tied that team. You know, it's so much more rewarding when you face an obstacle, something difficult, and you overcome. And God wants you to understand in your life, trouble, tribulation, it's coming. It's going to happen. You're going to go through it. And when you go through it, are you going to be able to glory through it? And that's what we're going to talk about today. You got your Bible? Let's look at verse 1. We were going verse by verse, so let's look at these verses and we'll work our way through. And in just a second, we'll talk about that tribulation. Look at verse 1. The Bible says this, therefore being justified by faith. Pastor, last week he talked about that word justified or justification. If I could simply put it into a simple definition, it would be this, just as if I had never sinned. Or some have said it like this, just as if I had the account of Jesus. Jesus' perfection. See, we understand that there's a problem. We're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned. We understand that, Romans 3:23. All of us make mistakes. We are born sinners. And because of our sin, the Bible tells us our sin is an enemy of God. See, God is perfect. God is holy. Because we're sinners and God is perfect, we have a serious problem there. But praise the Lord, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, now when God looks at you, He sees you justified. He sees you like He would see His own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' perfection is put onto us. Look at what it says this, or next. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because of Jesus Christ, because when we accept Him, He gives us His righteousness, we now can have this peace with God. You got your Bible? Would you go to the book of Isaiah very quickly? Let me read you another verse. Isaiah chapter 32. It might be on the screen. These guys on the screen are so fast. Okay, Brother Colby, is that you up there? Brother Colby, lady single up there. Okay, by the way, he's got a shaved face today. Nice, okay. Isaiah 32. That's, Colby, you owe me for that shout out, okay? That's $5, okay? Isaiah 32, verse number 17. Look what it says. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. See, it was Jesus Christ dying on the cross to pay for our sins that when we accept Him, we get His perfect account. And because of that, now we can have a peace with God. And that leads us to verse 2. Would you read verse 2 back in Romans 5? It says this, by whom also, same person, Jesus, by whom Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. When I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, I get His perfection. And because I now have that sinless perfection, I can have a peace with God. And because I can have a peace with God, I now have access to Him. Because I'm saved, I can now go to God and say, God, I've got a problem. Would you help me? And the Bible tells us He hears, right? He answers. And it's because of Jesus Christ that we receive that justification and that peace with God, and that gives us the opportunity to go to God with whatever our needs might be. It reminds me of Hebrews 4. Would you go to Hebrews 4 very quickly? Our pastor talked about this, I believe it was last Sunday night, Hebrews chapter 4. This verse might sound a little familiar to what we just read in verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need. See, Christian, when tribulations, when problems come in life, when these tough times come, what's great to know is that I have the righteousness of Jesus applied to my life. I have that peace with God, and I also, in my time of need, I can go boldly to God's throne and ask Him for help and ask Him for a miracle and ask Him to take care of whatever situation I'm facing. And without Jesus, according to Romans chapter 5, that wouldn't be possible. I was reminded of the story of Esther. Most of you have read the Old Testament story of Esther, where Esther, remember, she finds out from Mordecai. Mordecai says, hey, Esther, that wicked man Haman. Haman is trying to kill all of our people. Esther, you have to go to the king. Queen Esther, you have to go try to save our people. And you remember Esther's response. I can't. There was a law that if you were not summoned by the king, if the king did not request your presence, then by law, if you were to come before the king without asking, without him calling for you, then you'd be put to death. Esther knows that. And Queen Esther, even though she has power and even though she knows the king loves her, she realizes that if he does not call me in, I cannot go in to see him. She tells Mordecai, hey, we need to pray. We need to fast. I'm going to go in on this day and I hope that I'm going to make it. Remember her famous words, if I perish, I perish. She realized her life was at stake. She went before, and you can imagine in your mind the palace doors. I think about our auditorium. I see those back doors there. Maybe the king sitting on his throne. That would make me the king. I'm not sitting, though, okay? She opens that back door. And remember what happens. The king, he took that golden scepter. By the way, King Ahasuerus. You can name your children that. It's a great name, okay? King Ahasuerus. He raises his golden scepter, which meant when that scepter would raise, the guards would not grab you and kill you. It was, she can come and talk to me, right? Can I say this, Christian? Because of our sin, we have no access to God. But praise the Lord for Jesus Christ and God's grace. It had nothing to do with me. But because of what Jesus did, I can come into that throne room. And I can walk boldly to God and say, God, I have a tribulation. I have a problem I'm going through. God, would you help me with it? I think about this, if you can picture in your mind. You were at the back door of the palace waiting. God is sitting on his throne. And right before you're about to enter, Jesus stands there. He says, you can't go in unless you go in with me. Jesus, didn't he say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ stands at the back door. He says, you want to go to the king? I'll take you with me. And we go together with him. I think that helps my mind as I go to God in prayer. But we find this because of Jesus' justification, him dying on the cross for us, and us accepting that, we have peace with God. Because we have peace with God, we have access to him. Would you go back to Romans chapter 5? Now we're going to get into verse number 3. Tribulation. Here's where the tribulation comes in. These problems come in. Romans chapter 5, and look at verse number 3. The Bible says this, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing. That word knowing there is kind of an important word. It makes us realize that what I'm about to talk about, how can I glory in tribulation? It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that is learned over a period of time. And we go through tribulations, and so often, for especially a spiritually immature Christian or a young Christian, they don't get it. A problem comes, and maybe they think this, God, do you even care about me? God, if you truly loved me, why are you allowing this into my family? God, why are you allowing this into my home? Whether it's a sickness somebody might have, whether it's a financial problem that you might be facing, you might think, God, what is going on here? But I'm reminded of Romans 8. Would you go to Romans 8? Just a couple chapters over. Romans 8 and verse number 35. Catch this verse. Romans 8 verse 35, the Bible says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall, what's that first word? Tribulation. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The Bible tells us this, that just because you're going through tribulation doesn't mean God doesn't love you or care about you. But isn't that our first thought sometimes when a tough time comes? You think, God, what are you doing? God, you see me serving at church. God, you see me working in ministry. God, you see me trying to raise my family for you. Why would you allow this to happen? Is it because you don't care about me? Is it because you don't love me? The answer is no, nothing can separate me and you from the love of Christ. You say, Brother Titi, okay, how do I glory in tribulation? Do we have an example in the Bible of someone who was glorying in bad times? Of course we do. You got your Bible, go to Acts chapter 5. I hope you're staying with me. I'm going verse like crazy, so if I'm going too fast, yell at me later, okay? Acts 5, verse 41. It's in Acts chapter 5 where some of the early church apostles, they're out preaching the name of Jesus. They're out helping people with their needs. They're doing good, you could say. They are doing exactly what God wants them to do, and yet then they're taken captive. They're thrown into jail. They're told to knock off the preaching and stop telling people about Jesus. And it comes to Acts chapter 5, and look at the end, verse 41. The Bible says this, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I don't know about you, but that would not be my first response. They get released from prison. Now they have a jail record, okay? And they're like, woohoo, that was awesome. Yes, thank you, Lord, for sending us to prison. That was great. I don't know about you, but that's not my first response. I'm thinking, why did I have to go into that? That was terrible. Why did I have to go through that? But yet what you find is somehow, even though they're going through awful circumstances, they're happy. They're rejoicing that they're having to endure that. You say, Brother C, how is that possible? Some of you in here right now, you might be going through some hard times in your life. And your first response is not, I'm glad I'm going through this, God. In fact, you hate it. It's killing you. You feel destroyed by it. But yet you find that it is possible, somehow, some way, it's possible that when we go through tough times, to glory in it. And that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. The steps on how me and you, when we go through tough times, by the way, Christian, you will. You will. Some of you already have. You're on the other side of it. You will. How can I, as a young person or an even older person, how can I, as a Christian, when the tough times come, how can I glory in those tough times? Are you ready? I want us to look back at Romans chapter 5, verse number 3, and let's see the steps here. Verse 3, it says this, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Tribulation works our patience. You know what? It's the total opposite of how most of us react when a tough time comes. When a problem comes, you know what we do? We freak out. We stress out. We panic. We think, how am I going to fix it? How am I going to get out of this situation? We start trying to figure out ways to get through it and navigate the pain, to navigate the problems. And sometimes we're like, I don't know how, but I got to get through it. And yet God tells us that when we go through tough times, have patience. Step back. Relax. Trust in Him. We are supposed to have patience. You ever made a bigger problem out of a problem because you just didn't have patience? You made it worse. A problem came up, maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. And you went, ooh, I just made that situation worse. You ever been there? I have. I learned this lesson. Well, I've learned it many times. I learned it. I was up fishing in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And if you've ever been to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, there's nothing up there. Dirt roads, no really cities around, but there are a lot of lakes to fish in. It's great. I remember I was going on that trip. I flew back from Oregon, so I didn't have a vehicle. And I went to my grandma, my sweet old grandma. She might be watching today, Grandma. I apologize for the story I'm about to tell. Went to my grandma and said, "Grandma, can I borrow your truck for the fishing trip?" "Grandma, I'll take care of it." Little did I know. She said, "Oh, certainly, take the truck, have fun, go, good luck, go fishing." So I loaded the truck up, and I went up north with some of my other cousins and uncles and grandparents, and we get up there, and I decided I was going to go fishing at this lake. It was really remote. Dirt roads getting to it, two trackers through woods and all kinds of stuff, and really hard to get into this lake. And I remember my cousin had fished the lake earlier in the week, and he said, "You know what? If you go down this one trail, there's a couple houses." Now, when I say a couple, I literally mean a couple. Now, let me tell you about people that live up in Michigan, up in the Upper Peninsula. There's a reason they live out in the middle of nowhere. Because they don't really want to see people, okay? That's why they have 100 million no trespassing signs, okay? Shoot on sight. Woohoo. These are fun people, right? Very nice. And so they're living in the middle of nowhere. My cousin said, if you go down this one road, there's like two or three houses. And there's one little spot where it looks like someone used to live, where you can launch your boat. And I'm thinking in my mind, well, that sounds pretty nice to me, right? So I go down the road. I've got my brother and my cousin with me. We go to the spot, and sure enough, right where he said, there's a house, and there's right in the middle, like an overgrown area, where a little spot where it looks like, hey, I can walk my boat right there. So we launch the boat. We go out fishing. It was terrible. We didn't catch nothing, okay? Even worse, even more disheartening in this story, okay? It wasn't like we slayed the fish, okay? That would make the story slightly better. We didn't. It was terrible. We come out, we load the boat back up, and we start going down that trail. What I didn't realize on the way in was that we had passed a gate. It was a big metal gate that was so overgrown it was hidden, kind of in the woods. And so when we get there, this gate is now closed, and it's locked, giant padlock, giant chain, and we are basically locked in on this trail with some probably scary people at these houses. And I started freaking out, right? I have no cell phone service. My brother and my cousin are like, "What do we do?" I'm like, "I have no idea." But the panic started. We've got to get out of here, right? We got to figure out a way to get the other side of this gate because we are stuck and no one's coming to get us. And by the way, decision, mistake number one, I never went and asked anybody at the house, okay? Was there someone at the house? I don't know. Maybe I was scared of them, so I never went and checked. They might have just walked out and unlocked the gate. Oh, here you go. Now, they probably would have yelled at me a little bit, but that would have been better than what was about to happen. But I was panicking. I looked, there was just a tiny spot. There's a big giant pole on the side where that one side of the gate's attached, and there's a massive tree. I'm talking massive tree. And there's just a little gap, a truck-size gap. Truck size. I tell my brother and cousin, here's what we're going to do. We're going to clear this little section of woods, and we're going through. We start grabbing logs. We start breaking branches off. We start getting that path. I'm making sure it ain't muddy. I'm making sure it all looks beautiful. I get in the truck. I say, "Let me know how I'm doing." We start going. Mistake number two. I got to where the pole was like right next to my door. And it's always bad when you have to start moving mirrors in, right? And I mean, it is tight. I mean, I'm talking like we are like this on both sides. And all of a sudden, it's like that right here. I can see the pole. I mean, I'm like, dude, I mean, I don't even know if I can see the gap yet. Now, mistake number two, I'm panicking, remember. Why don't I just back up? Nope. I tell my brother and my cousin, I'm going for it. Going for it. They're like, are you sure? I said, I'm going for it. So I did what anyone else would do. I just hit the gas. Thought it's better to go fast than slow, right? That's right. Well, when I hit that gas, that truck just fishtailed a little bit, and that whole slide just went, boom, slammed the whole side right into the pole. I just went, I mean, I'm petting the pole out the window. I'm like, hey. I mean, just boom, right into the side. Well, now we have a bigger problem. Do you go forward or do you go backward? Because either way, we're messing up either the front of the truck or the back of the truck. Something getting messed up because we are on the side and you can't move a truck sideways. It don't work. It'd have been nice. I'm strong, but I ain't that strong. So, did what anyone else would do. I ain't going backwards. I got to get out of here. I'm panicking. I just gunned it. And when I gunned it, that whole pole just right down the whole side of that truck. From the door all the way to the back tire, about dent this deep, just the whole side caved in. Yellow paint on the red truck now. It was nice. My cousin looked at me like, my brother looked at me like, I looked at them like, what else do you do? We went back to camp. Praise the Lord. My grandma's nice. She said, as long as you're okay, honey. I'm like, thank you, Grandma, thank you. Thousands of dollars worth of damage later. Boy, bad decision making. You know what happened? I got into a pickle. And instead of thinking about it, instead of taking a couple minutes to go, okay, let's think about this, I started panicking. And I made a bad couple decisions. And sometimes we have troubles come in our life, and that's what we do, isn't it? We panic. We freak out. We don't see how the answer comes, so we try to make the answer up ourselves. And sometimes we dig ourselves deeper. You have to learn in trials in life to have patience. Have patience. Look at the next verse. Verse number 3, it says this, knowing the tribulation work of patience. Verse 4, amen, it must be my preaching. Verse 4, and patience, experience. And patience, experience. The word experience here comes from the Greek word which means proven or tested. Proven or tested. Okay, so verse 4, and patience, experience. What happens in life, and all many of you could testify to this, as you go through life, what you've found is that when you have put your faith and trust in Jesus to get you through a pickle, God seems to come through. I could bring up almost everyone in this room, and you could testify of a moment in your life where you didn't know how you were going to get through, but God got you through. And you'd say, I don't know how to explain it, Brother TJ. But God got me through it. In other words, you have proven and tested God before in your life, and those experiences have told you that when you're in a tough time, God will show up to take care of you. Maybe you're here today, though, and you say, Brother T.D., I haven't seen that in my life. Could I ask you, when was the last time you prayed for something? See, sometimes we don't see God moving because we don't ask Him to move. We don't see God working because we're not asking Him to work. Sometimes you've got to say, you know what, God, I'm going to pray about this, and I don't know how you're going to answer it, and I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to trust in you. Maybe you have to pray if you're going to see God move, and also, sometimes we don't look. We don't look. Pastor reminds me of this all the time. I feel so dumb. We'll sit in a staff meeting, a pastor will say, hey, remember, guys, when our church, we had this issue, and we didn't see how it was going to work, we didn't see how it was going to fix itself, the problem, he said, think about it now. Did you see what God did? And I'll go, no, yeah. I see it now, Pastor. Thank you for telling me. Sometimes we aren't looking for God to work in our lives. But what happens as you go through trials and tribulations in your life, if you'll have patience and trust in God, you're going to have experiences where God comes through. Notice what he says next. Verse number 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. Experience, hope. I love this word. Hope comes from a Greek word which means to expect or to anticipate. It's kind of like a kid on Christmas morning. Remember when you were a kid on Christmas morning? The night before was the worst night of your life. It never ended. You would go to bed, and I mean, you're just like in bed, just like this is great. You couldn't wait for the morning. You're so excited, you barely slept that night. Some of you have your parents and you have your children. Your children are like trying to wake you up at like 4 a.m. and you have to like set a time. No. Earliest you wake me up is 7 or whatever it is. They're so excited. Why? Because we all have a hope that in the morning when we go out to that tree that the cookies and milk will have gone. Your parents ate it, by the way. Okay, sorry, kids. And the cookies and milk will be gone. And underneath that tree, there's going to be a pile of presents. And you know what? They're all going to be yours and only one for your brother or sister. You have the mountain, they've got one. That's your hope. You're like, this is great. You can't wait. You're anticipating what's coming. I love going hunting. And even as an adult man, I sleep. The worst sleep of any day is when I'm going hunting the next day. I will get up at 3 a.m. And I know I've got to get up at 3 a.m. to go hunting. And I'll be like, I'm going to go to bed 9 o'clock. I'll go to bed 9 o'clock and I will lay there for like 2 hours. I'll go, please sleep, please sleep, please sleep, please sleep. The faster I go to sleep, the quicker the hunting comes, right? I'll look at my phone every 15 minutes checking the weather. What's the weather do? It's the same weather report it was 15 minutes ago. I'll pull the map out and go, I'm going hunting right here. The map has not magically changed in the last 15 minutes, but I just can't wait. I'm so excited. You know what the Bible is teaching here? This is crazy, and most of us don't think about this. God wants me and you that when a problem comes in life, instead of being hopeless, where we sit there and go, "How? I don't know." Instead, God wants you to be like the kid on Christmas who sits there and goes, "How is God going to come through? I don't know how, but I know it's happening. I prayed about it. I'm watching. I'm waiting." And we're so excited, that hope. We're anticipating. We know he's going to come through for us. We don't know how, but we just are ready. Like a kid on Christmas knows when he gets up, the presents are going to be there. I know when I go hunting, when I wake up, the alarm's going to go off. I'm going to get to go. We sit there and we say, "God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to get me through this tough time. But I'm ready and I'm waiting. I'm expecting it." That is hope. And we should have that hope. Very quickly, I'm done. It's 12:05. We're looking great on time. I want to put it all together. Can we do that? And this, as I study this, it made it so, like I said, it's hard to think about. When I go through a tough time, to be like, all right, I'm going to glorify God in this tough time. How can I do it? I want to go back through and let's just put it into the steps. Because as I study this, what I found, if we're going to glory in tribulation, you kind of have to start backwards through the process. I want you to notice something. First off, know that me and you, we have peace with God because of Jesus and therefore access to him. When a tough time comes in life, realize, Christian, you have access to God. You can go to him in prayer. Praise the Lord for church. You can bring prayer requests to the church house. We can pray together even. But we have an access to God because of Jesus, his son. Or Jesus, God, son. There we go. That made sense. We have access to him. So when a tough time comes, realize, I have access to God. I can go to him. But also realize this. Because we have God, we always have hope. Because you have a God that you can pray to, there's never a tough time in your life that you're facing that you do not have hope. You cannot sit there and go, he's going to come through. I know it. I'm expecting it. I'm planning on it. I'm anticipating God coming through. We have that hope. Know that because there's hope, we have more hope because in the past, we've experienced God come through before. And I have more hope now than I even used to. And because we've experienced God come through, I have patience. When a tough time comes, I don't sit there and go, it's all on my shoulders. Nope. I'm going to wait on God. By the way, I think it's the book of Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When that tough time comes, my experiences have told me, God's going to come through. I'm going to be patient. But also, this is the flip side of the coin, know that when God sends a tribulation, he is also growing your patience. He's giving you more experiences, and he's strengthening your hope for the next time you go through a tribulation. I wrote it down like this. I hope it makes sense. God is not only doing a work for us. When a tough time comes, God's not only doing a work for you, he's trying to get you through it, but he's also doing a work in us at the same time. He's growing our patience. He's growing our experiences, another experience where he shows us he comes through, and he's growing our hope. Christian, I don't know what you're facing today, and as hard as it seems, would you start glorying God in those tribulations that come? Because I promise you this, God wants to get you through it. And as you're going through it, he's making you a better person as you're facing it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With heads bowed, eyes closed, we're going to say a word of prayer. But with heads bowed, eyes closed, can I ask you a question? Maybe you're in here today, and as I talked, the very first thing I said, peace with God. Maybe you're here today, and you don't have a peace with God. It's probably because you've never accepted Jesus, his son, because that's the only way we can have peace with God. Maybe you're here today, and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You could do that right now, and you could accept him so you could have that peace with God. Here's what I'm going to do if you're listening with heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to say a little word of prayer. It's not magic. But I'm going to help you word a simple prayer so that you can accept Jesus as your Savior and start that peace with him. Pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Dear Jesus, I know I can't save myself. But Jesus, I ask that you come into my heart and give me that peace and save me and take me to heaven when I die. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if there's a Christian in here today that you're facing something tough. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a problem with a family member. I don't know what it is, but it's hurting you. It's breaking your heart. It feels like it's killing you almost. You feel helpless and hopeless. Christian, could I say this? God has the way through it. You say, Brother T.D., would you pray for me? I've got something going on in my life. Would you pray for me as we close our service? Would you slip your hand up? I won't ask you what it is, but would you slip your hand up and say, Brother T.D., would you pray for me? I've got something in my life. I see those hands. There's hands all over the room. I'm facing something, Brother T.D. I don't see how, but I'm going to trust in God. God's going to get me through it. I'm going to glory him even through this awful time. Hands were all over the room. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then Pastor's going to come, and I think Pastor's going to close our service this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we love you. We thank you for the service this morning. We thank you for Romans 5. God, you saw the hands. People are facing stuff right now, even today. God, some of them don't have their hands up. That's because what they're going to face is down the road a little ways. God, would you be with us? And as we go through tribulations in life, help us to glory you even through the darkest moments of our life. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for all you do. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Pastor's going to come. Thank you for listening. And Pastor, it's all yours.
What a good message. Amen. Maybe next time you go through a great trial, you'll say, Yahoo! I don't know if you can say it just like Brother TJ does. We have a next video, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you for being a part of this. It was a joy to sing this morning. And this evening, we will again. And Little Bear Bible Club for all the children. We're excited about that. Let's watch the next video.
Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Romans was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 for a powerful evening service as we hear Pastor Mutchler continue our verse-by-verse series out of the book of Hebrews.
Our nursery is in need of some volunteers to serve just once a month during the Sunday school hour or the 11 a.m. service. If you would be willing to help fill this need, please sign up at the welcome desk or see Danny McAllister. The nursery is also in need of some basic items to help keep the babies and parents happy and comfortable. Would you be willing to provide wipes and snacks like Goldfish, pretzels, and Cheerios? For the next week, there will be a crib in the church foyer for you to put your donations.
We would love to have more people join in our music ministry here at Grandview. Starting tonight, there will be choir practice in the Adler Room at 3:45 and orchestra practice in the auditorium at 3:30. Our orchestra could use additional people who play oboe, cello, viola, saxophone, flute, percussion, and more. For questions or more information about the choir, please see Chris Vestal, and for the orchestra, see Cameron Howell.
Looking for a Bible study group? We have something for everyone here. The Men's Prayer Breakfast meets on Saturdays at 9 a.m. in the Abundant Life Room. You will get to hear a challenging truth from Pastor, be served breakfast, and spend time in prayer. The Ladies Bible Study starts back up tomorrow and will continue every Monday at 9:30 a.m. at the Mutchler's home. Enjoy a time of fellowship, a cup of coffee, and a Bible lesson from Miss Vicki.
Join us this Wednesday at 7 p.m. to hear a special message from guest speaker Pastor Justin Lehman from Turlock, California.
Teenagers, the first overtime teen activity is next week, Sunday, January 24th. We will play nine square knockout in the gym right after the 5 p.m. service, and this activity will end at 7 p.m.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we'd be happy to answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look for guest services. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.